Watch who?
Hello. Hello.
And welcome to Two Watch Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm a Doctor Who fan.
And I'm new to watching Who.
Watching for the very first time.
Very first time.
Order. Court is now back in session for the second part of Trial of a Time Lord. Inquisitor Sarah, do you have any thoughts on this matter?
This matter? This was tricky. This was hard. That's what I feel about it. I did enjoy it, but it breaks up so much and going back and forth. It was really difficult.
Well, before we start, last week we went straight into it. So I didn't do any updates or any other bits and pieces, and I forgot loads of stuff, basically. So if the court will permit, may I present a few little updates?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't talk about new series news. The trailer came out.
May 15th, something like that.
I think it's the 11th of May.
Close enough.
And it's going out on, so the first two episodes are on iPlayer the Friday at midnight, and then it's going to be shown on TV on the Saturday night.
I see.
So that's going to be the pattern. So they're all going to drop iPlayer at midnight on the Friday. The reason being, so the whole world gets it at the same time, and they've prioritised America to get it at 7 p.m.
How do you feel about that as a fan?
Well, everyone's going to be up at midnight waiting for the new episodes. They're not going to wait till it's on TV, are they? So everyone's going to be on Twitter at midnight on the Friday before.
What's interesting about that is it's going to massively affect viewership, isn't it?
Well, they add all the viewing and the iPlayer stats up, so I don't know.
But I could be wrong, but like one of the big things, especially at Christmas, was like, you know, the most watched things. Did that include iPlayer, or was it like people around the TV watching?
I think it was probably around the TV to begin with was a high number, and then a load got added on catch up. So it's going to be a huge Twitter mess, is what I predict.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
So that's that. And also, I forgot to say, because we went straight into the story last time, I forgot to show you. I had this ready, and I forgot to show you my Trial of a Time Lord VHS tin, which I know you're really excited to see.
Can't wait to see that.
So it came in this lovely tin, the Trial of a Time Lord box set.
Right.
People who got the videos would know. Oh, no, you can't see.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm holding. Okay, sorry. So, sorry, listeners. We've had some issues here in the trial. That screen isn't working. So basically, me and Sarah are on Gallifrey Zoom at the moment, and we can hear each other, but Sarah's camera, or whatever, I can see Sarah, but Sarah cannot see me.
Or so anything. I've just held up. It's just a black screen.
Okay,
that's why that'll be good. That's why I sound a little bit stressed, viewers, because I'm just sat here tapping, trying to get my screen back on while Mark's talking.
I was just waving this thing, and I was like, "Why aren't you looking at this? Why aren't you looking at my TARDIS tin?"
Because I can't see.
Okay, we're gonna move that item over to next week. Court, please make a note of that. I would love to be that court person that does all the. I don't think I could type it all up quick enough, though, as it happens. That's the problem. But I would love to do that.
What? Type the minutes?
Be the court, like note taker or whatever they do. Which I noticed in this, they don't. It's just the Inquisitor, and she's doing all her own notes. There's no other court admin people around, really.
Well, who are the people in the background? They're not the jury. Are they just Time Lord people?
I think they are. They're there just to watch. People. Yeah.
Just to add numbers.
Yeah, it just makes it look. Otherwise, it's just three people sitting there in this like wooden set. Okay, then. Right. Let's talk about the story, because other stuff will come out of that. So
I'm hoping that like I can see you soon.
Okay. Well, previously, the Doctor was on trial, and we left off with the Valeyard changing his admin and saying, it's not an inquiry anymore. We actually want to kill you because of all this stuff. And I'll make sure that that happens, which, objection, I say. So we carry on.
Objection, I say.
My favourite court thing, which I learned when I was doing copyright law, I did like one module of it, was prima facie. When we were being taught, the lecturer, she was always like, and prima facie, and prima facie. And we were like, what is prima facie? It just means like on the face of it all, as you can see, sort of thing. But the legal jargon is prima facie. So this week, prima facie, it's another piece of evidence from the
You've been
Valiard.
waiting years to put that in a sentence, haven't you?
Yes. I'm going to use it as much as possible.
I know.
So it's another piece of evidence from the Valiard saying this is what the doctor's done again. Up to this point, okay, from last week onwards, who do you think has a fair argument? Do you think the Valiard has a point? He's interfered. The doctor needs to pay for his crimes, or the doctor's like, I've been doing this for ages. I helped. There's a mystery here about the Earth. Where are you at the moment if you was on the jury?
I just feel like at this point, we still don't have the full picture as to why they feel this is a justified. Imagine if he murdered someone, right? Or did something that completely changed the course of time. But at this point, none of that feels like. But they're not, I don't know. But then also, I kind of think, like, is it a case of his presence changed it? Well, that could be the case for anything that he's saved. I just feel like we've been here before and it's a bit weak.
Yeah, at the moment, I think it is. Yeah. And the doctor did ask about the bleeps and the weird stuff going on, and that still hasn't been resolved yet from last week.
Yeah, it's got to be a pretty strong argument to sentence someone to death. And what this is a case whereby he's not even aware of the evidence being put in front of him.
Because he can't really remember where they've taken him out of time from, which we find out in this story is where he came from. But we start off on this planet, on the beach,
The pink
which I
beach.
think looks absolutely amazing in terms of effects with the
So
planet and the
maybe
pink
your
sea.
effects were slightly better than mine.
No, this I just saw the original effects. The
Okay.
planet in the background and the pink. Do you not think that was a really cool inventive way?
It was a clever way. Initially, I had a moment of like, is there something wrong with the TV I'm watching this on?
Well, I think it's a really good effort to make it look like they didn't just have a beach, which is in Hove actually down the road, because Jonathan Turner lived there down the road, which you saw in bus form that's near his
My
house. So
face
that's
in
where
that picture says everything. It's like I'm smiling, but my eyes are dead.
Well, it was just 10 minutes round from his house. That's why I got filming down there on the beach. But no, I just think it's really effective. We haven't seen anything like that. They've not tried to do it. It's new technology again. They're trying stuff out with this. I think it's like this paint box thing that the BBC got. But I just think it's really clever because they've managed to do the sea and this. Okay, it's very bright on the beach, but it's supposed to be like that. It
Yeah, no,
looks
it is
like.
effective. It is effective. I think it sort of feels gimmicky effective, Rob, but that's what they could do at the time. So I think I'm being a bit mean-spirited with that.
Oh my God, I thought you'd really like that. I'm really surprised.
I'd really like them putting a hue on the camera.
Well, yeah, with the planet and stuff, it's cool. Okay, well, they soon get into the studio, so they're soon indoors.
Me, just a lot of his story, and even she says it, like all that preamble. That first episode was really slow.
The more I watch this one, the more I like it. On a first watch, when I was younger, when I got me VHS tin, I didn't like this at all. I didn't really get it. I thought it was boring. I thought there was a lot of confusion in it.
Once it got going, I enjoyed it. It was, but there was a that first episode, I really struggled. And that is a prime that you've just what you've had is a court scene where they've reminded us, yeah, we're in court. Then we have this scene. That doesn't, it's nothing, it doesn't do anything other than like we're on the sit, we've landed, it's pink.
No, it says what it says, where they're there for a reason because they found whatever they mentioned. They said, we've talked to this guy who said there's weapons or something on this planet that's been supplied by whoever. They've come from somewhere, and the doctor's got that gadget which is important, and that's why they're there. They're investigating something. Perry's a bit reluctant. They go into the caves. There's that whole scene with the doctor.
No, so they go into the before they go into the caves, even the Inquisitor woman, she goes, "What is the point in this?" And they're like, "Let's just get to the point."
Okay, yeah, them getting out the TARDIS in the water and stuff. Yeah, but that looks cool as well. We've not had a landing on the water like that, and we've seen them get out and wade. Yeah, all of that. Okay, and then it cuts to the Doctor after she says, okay.
I mean, ultimately, it could have just started with they're already in the caves walking through, and he's explaining, so why are we, she's going, so why are we here again? The whole point is it's an inquiry. That's why I really struggled with this, particularly that first episode where there's a lot of back and forth between the court and the story. Because I find that the court is one storyline, the story is like a completely separate element, and they're just fitting in these court scenes between it. And it does, it sort of, you're just getting into the flow of one and then it breaks. And that was a prime example for me, that start. I kind of thought if it had just been, they went all the way through to the end and then the court says something, I probably wouldn't feel as weird about that start. But they've just started it and then we're already back in court and it's broken up again. And the whole point of that court scene is also pointless. So what we've had is two really pointless scenes. We've had a scene where they've landed on a pink beach with an effect and had some dialogue, which doesn't tell us much. Then we go to a court scene where they've gone, why are we showing this? Get on with it. Like, they're two, for me, pretty pointless scenes when actually we've already established a court element. We just want to be getting into it more by this point. We just want to be getting into the story.
Yeah, quite a lot of the court scenes are pointless, but there are quite a few in this story which I think are relevant later
Yeah, I
on when they
agree. I
start.
agree. There are some, like I think the first one's relevant. It reminds us when we start back. And I think some later on when he's talking about what he doesn't remember or he can't remember, also useful. It just breaks up a lot of like the main storyline a lot.
Well, the first sort of important scene, I think, is when they go in that, and did the Doctor intentionally kill that creature, or did the gun accidentally go off? I think that's an interesting scene to show, to go to court and to say, because he says, you know, the Doctor said it went off by accident. Did that happen or not? I think that's quite a good
They
question.
never ever reach a conclusion on that because they try and fry the doctor's brain. He argues the whole time it was an accident, it was an accident. So I take it that it's an accident, but that's never fully addressed. So the whole point of that court thing would be for him to argue. I think it is an interesting thing to bring up, but it's never conclude. It's almost like, oh, we've got an interesting point coming up. We're going to highlight it. Oh, here's another interesting argument that might fit in with the court.
Okay, well,
So,
okay.
but it feels like they wrote the story and then they were like, oh, we're going to do this whole court thing. So let's have like these moments where, you know, if we were watching this from the outside, what would we be commentating on? And it feels like it's been done that way rather than a story, like, here's a court case and here's some evidence and writing it as like a story of evidence.
Yeah, I think they had the stories and then they shoehorned all the trial stuff in. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it feels, this, especially the start of this one.
Well, Syl turns up, so we've
Yeah,
got
that was
Return.
nice. I think I like Syl, he's a great character. I was quite happy when I saw them. I was like, oh, this is cool. Because, like, he was a fun character.
I like the bit about Peri being upset that she didn't know that it was that the Doctor didn't tell her. Like, the Doctor knew and didn't tell her. I think stuff like that is interesting to bring up in court. To be like, well, you've put Perry, you know that Perry wouldn't want to be anywhere near him because she got turned into a bird last time.
Yeah, she
It was
mentions it.
mentioned.
She mentions her bird life.
That's very interesting. The Doctor just dismisses that and is like, well, I didn't tell you because, you know, whatever. It's really to the end of that episode where the Doctor gets the brain thing, and that's when things really change.
Yeah. And also, I found it really difficult to work out whether he was trying to support Perry or not.
This is the whole point. Yeah, this is the problem. Does the Doctor know what he's doing or not? Is it the brain thing? Is he pretending?
And he
Which.
again doesn't really get answered.
The brain thing happens, and you've got King Ikarnos,
Great, we'll come to that.
who is brilliant. So then, initially, the Doctor's sort of acting a bit like him, as if they've got muddled up in the machine a little bit. He's acting like that, and Perry's like, what's going on? Poor Perry, adding to she gets the most trauma in this of all her trauma watches.
Oh,
This
yeah.
is And it comes down to that scene, even when the doctor is like interrogating her when she's on the rocks with the actual sea coming in, and that was the actual real sea, and they actually chained her to the rocks.
Just some torture.
But Colin Baker says as well, when they were filming that scene, he asked the producer, he was like, "So is the doctor like pretending? Is he just being a dick? Is it because of the mind thing? Is it because the evidence isn't real? Has the Valyard done something? What is happening?" The producer, the script editor, the director were all like,
Next question.
nobody could answer. Nobody did. So he says he worked it out. He talked to the director, and they were like, "Okay, I'm going to play it as if
Yeah.
this didn't really happen. This wasn't his. This wasn't actually what happened. It's been manipulated. It wasn't really what the doctor was like." That's how he played it.
Yeah.
No one could give him an answer, which shows,
Just
you
what a
know,
mess that was.
just
Yeah.
what a mess it all is. But then also, I think they should have made it clearer, because then he's sort of a, he's being that baddie in episode two a lot. And then later on, because he, that's when him and Perry get split up, because he gives them away when, you know, when that's, he doesn't really see Perry after that very much. He gets caught up, and then he's working with Syl, and
Yeah.
then when later on, when he's trying to help them and he lets King Yukarnos out and stuff, he's like, "No, I'm your friend, I'm trying to help you." And it's even worse, because this doctor last season has acted like this before. The actual doctor, so it's not out of his character. If he'd never been like that before, if it was like a different doctor who's always nice to his companions, didn't strangle her and
You'd
wasn't
know.
shouting, it would be so obvious. But it's not obvious here, because he can act like that sometimes. And is he actually pretending? Because there's these looks. So yeah, it's not 100% what is real and what's not. What's like fake news on the trial evidence at some point, because the doctor says that's, it did happen, but not in that the inflections are all wrong. It is slightly different.
What I found interesting is in this story, the worst character is the Doctor. For him to be the lead of the show, it's kind of a shame. We've had it sometimes in the past. He's the weakest part of this entire story. He doesn't bring anything different. He causes a lot of trouble and issues. I mean, they've put him with the whole, what's his name? The other Doctor person. What was his name?
What, Crozier?
Crozier. They've put him with Crozier because, like, to keep him involved in that story. But because he's so, oh, he brings nothing. Perry, there's loads in this story. I mean, she, like, she's put in danger a lot. She's human in terms of when they see that man that's like, all that. She's got human moments. She, teams up with other people. She does loads in this, and she's actually like fully rounded. She, and then even at the end when it all goes a bit Pete Tong, like she very much, she's great throughout. She's so strong. The Doctor's the weakest element in this entire story. If you removed him, the story would continue pretty much.
Well, I mean, you sound like the Valyard here, but yeah, I mean,
It's true. But the Valyard argues, but the Valyard argued that the Doctor meddled too much. I'm saying he didn't do anything.
well, no, he does. It all kicks off because, does the Doctor help Crozier get? Because the whole problem the Time Lords are worried about, and this is what they do right at the end, so they do interfere at the end, that you could take people's minds and put them into other people's, mind warp them, which is going to be like a big thing for the whole universe if he works that out. Does the Doctor sort of help him, because he assists Crozier? So if the Doctor wasn't there, Crozier, because he hadn't have managed it at that point, had he? So because the
Even
Doctor
then,
helped him.
the things that like he talk like it's not like the doctor says anything radical and he goes, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. It was already there. Like
I think
all of
most of
the
it,
doctor's
yeah.
inputs are like, oh, try that again. He doesn't say anything where Crozier goes, that's changed the game. That's changed the way we're thinking about this. He helps, but he doesn't bring anything new or revolution. It's all there. He just hasn't figured it, so he'll figure it out at some point, be it this point or another.
Yeah, I think it probably would have happened if the doctor wasn't there. But then he brought Perry there, and Perry was a suitable candidate, and all of that happened. And he would have helped King Yukarnos get out, and all of that. It's quite complicated.
One other thing I didn't understand, and like this was in the second episode, I want to say. So they walk into the lab and he starts pulling all the stuff off. And then he goes and gets like the cliffhanger is him getting electrocuted. Was it the end of the second or the end of the first
That's
stuff?
the end of the first, where the doctor
That is
gets
how
them.
long that first story felt for me. I thought it was the second. So he does he put sort of things. He's pulled them all out. I thought it wasn't gonna work, and then it looks like it really has.
Oh no, I think Crozier starts putting stuff back
Ah,
afterwards.
okay.
I did see he's doing stuff at the back as well. So the King Yukarnos, great
Brian
character.
Blessed, brilliant.
Of course, Brian Blessed doing what he does best,
Shouting a lot.
shouting. But the relationship with Perry there is quite nice because poor,
It
I
is
mean, this is the
my
problem.
queen.
Because you think, what's he going to be like? I didn't, because he's the king, but he's not the king of that planet. I couldn't understand why he was there because he's been captured and you've got all these other people living there. But it's the Sills' like home planet, isn't it? So I was a bit confused where he came from, but never mind.
I thought that they w I could be wrong, so, but they like making deals with other planets, don't they? Right. I thought they were trying to make him a bit more complacent so they could have a deal with him.
Yeah, I think you got it. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds like it.
Because
Yeah.
like I can't think why they talk about he's this brutal thing and we want him more complacent. And I can't think why they'd want him more complacent unless they wanted to try and because all the deals are terrible deals. That's also the thing.
But he's running around these tunnels all the time. He's just left to be in a tunnel somewhere shouting a lot of the time. I don't know why they can't find him. But Perry falls in with him and the dog guy, but they make a great team. But you just feel so sorry for Perry because once the doctor betrays him, or does he, or whatever, I don't know, and she goes off with them, she's left on her own for a bit, isn't she? And she falls in. Matrona Carney, we've got to talk about Matrona, who runs like the harem of servants.
That was such a random scene. That was another random scene.
But she also does the operations with Crozier with her makeup and her earrings on, doing the operations and doing the drinks.
It's so like that scene was so weirdly pointless.
What, where Perry gets falls in with the it does the serving.
Yeah, and then she doesn't want to go in. She goes in, the doctor betrays her or whatever. I was like, okay.
And then
It
this is
was
the
so
point.
short. All the I thought it was going to take us down a whole new path. That lasted like 5 minutes.
But then that I think it just shows how lost Perry is because she didn't want to be there. Doctor really tricked her into being there. She didn't choose to be there. She gets, I mean, is it the doctor's fault or not? I don't know. But she gets left on her own. She has to fend for herself on this planet. She tries that. She's like, my life is nothing now. I might as well just be here because I can't get out of this situation. I don't know what the doctor's doing. He then that's really cruel, that moment where he says, "Oh, we've caught her." Like, whether that was a
Yeah.
plan or not, I don't know. But he says in the trial he was planning to, he was wanted her arrested and out of the way as much as possible. He said he was planning that, but I don't know. And
It
then she
doesn't make
falls
any
in with
sense. And
you.
he brings up, like, oh, what's this? And, like, the poisons. I don't know. It was very odd.
But then when she's with Yukarnos, at least they've got some nice scenes. She's
Yeah.
like, falls in with them. And then unfortunately, she gets captured. And, well, should we just talk about that now, Perry?
What, her bald wig?
The body is warm. Oh, wonderful. Legs. Toes. Toes wriggling. Trunk. Neck. Strong. Head free of pain.
Like the ultimate trauma of them all. They've all built up to this point every episode to the worst fate. I mean, what did you think of that? What did you think was going to happen?
Well, when she got turned into what's his name, I thought, I bet she's relieved she doesn't have to do an American accent anymore. That's genuinely what I thought. She does it really well. Like, she completely empowers it, and it's so different to Perry. It's really good. Excellent bowl cap. I just reckon she had so much fun having that. That's what I mean. This story is so much fun for Perry.
Yeah, it
As
is. She
an
gets a lot to do.
actress, not as like as Nicola, what's her name? So much fun. Perry, yes, trauma, but what, you get, you're being betrayed, you're finding new things, you're, teaming up with other people, then you get to be the leader wearing a bold cap.
I mean, it's the greatest hits of everything she's done so far, isn't it? Like, and what do you think of her outfit, actually, clothes watch wise? Her pink.
Oh yeah, I mean, I thought it was a bit of a rogue choice with the pink sand. I'm guessing it's so that it all blended in.
Well, she stands out in the tunnels, doesn't she?
Does, yeah.
I mean, what about her end, though? She gets shot by King Acarnos, and that explains why Perry's not in the trial.
So, I mean, we don't actually see exactly what happens at the end, do we?
Well, it's frozen and he shoots her. They unfreeze so he can go in and shoot her and stop the experiment and
Oh.
blow it all up.
Yeah, fine.
So the Time Lords killed Perry.
Yeah, and then you get and then that, oh, of course, because then at the end you get the doctor running through and then the TARDIS appears and he walks backwards. That was a cool moment.
That was a very good moment to show where he came in. Yeah, I like that. And because it doesn't resolve the story, it's all chaos. And. Well, the Time Lords had to intervene. So they're sort of being a bit of a hypocrite.
There's a lot of them resolved, which I guess is the point. It gets you on to next week. My favourite bits were anything with Syl.
Syl was brilliant, and it was Lord Kiv was the other one. He was
Yeah,
really
brilliant.
good.
Both are brilliant. Any of their scenes were great. They kind of carried it for me as like they carried this. It's really clear story. He's having these intense migraines. He can't continue. Syl, we love Syl as like a character, not as a, like, it's just a fun baddie. Yes, my lord, and eating his whatever it was, his jelly. Like, he's like the stroppy teen, but he's not in charge. They kept me engaged in the storyline. I was just, for me, the storyline was, are they going to be able to do this body transfer? And will Perry and that lot be able to stop them in time? That, for me, was the storyline. Anything the doctor was doing didn't fuss me or interest me.
No, it's just frustrating that you don't really know. The doctor's not a hero in this at all. And you're like,
He's not anything in
but it's
this.
weird because he's that, whether it's the brain thing or not, it's more uncomfortable to watch him being like this than it was at all any of last season, being like a bit of a dick.
Oh, for
This was
sure.
like really horrible. And it's like, why would you enjoy wanting to watch this? I know it's part of the, and maybe you had to do extreme to show it for the trial. And this is a great, I mean, the Valeyard's done a great example. If he's choosing any adventure, this one is the one to choose, where he's a
Yeah,
proper
yeah.
dickhead. He could have just showed the twin dilemma with him strangling Perry. But yeah, I think in the writing, and this is where I have the problem with the script editor, it's like you should know exactly if this is going to be faked evidence, or it's really obvious that the brain thing's done that, and he's or it's really obvious that he's got a plan. You need to make it really clear for the audience. And I think that is the problem where it's like, we'll just act, he can just act a bit weird here. He can, and oh, poor Colin Baker trying to act as well. He needs to know himself, and if they can't tell him.
No. But what I did love in the court scenes, there was a real, a genuine concern and like something that we've not had from this doctor before of like a real emotional, well, where is she? And like, well, what happened? Like, and a lot of his moments, especially, and when he gets angry about it, of course you would. And like, I did enjoy that. It just broke up so much. Like, I almost feel like what I need is a court case and an episode, and they are separate things that have been tried to be smushed together because some of his best acting with it, like throughout, has been in those court scenes, especially in this one.
But they always, I mean, it's the third or fourth close up of his face cliffhanger. They're always just his face cliffhanger. The cliffhangers have been terrible in
Oh,
throughout. They've
yeah.
not even bothered with any of them. I mean, showing the at the end of this one is probably the best one so far, you know, explaining what happened to Perry. It's the strangling bit, though, in the if we just go right back to the Twin Dilemma. So there's this audio that's come out this last week celebrating 40 years of the Sixth Doctor. And it had the H.G. Wells episode in it, which was really good. And I mean, this was recorded last year, I think. And there's a great scene in one of these stories, Sixth Doctor and Perry, and it's set sort of just before this. And they have a chat in the middle of the adventure. They have a really good chat about that thing. And she's like, should we, you know, we haven't talked about this. We need to talk about this, you know, what you, how you were when you changed and all this stuff. And the way it's done with these two actors 40 years later addressing it. And the doctor's like, I never understood why you stayed around. Why did you? I did this terrible thing. I wasn't in my right mind. And she was like, I went on this adventure. You changed.
Nobody has a right to treat you like that. That's what Mom would have said. And I knew she was right. I would have told them exactly the same thing. I would have been banging on their windows and screaming, "Run for the hills, you idiot!"
But you didn't.
No, I didn't. Because my friend was ill. He was broken in ways that I can't even begin to understand. I quietly decided to myself and screamed back to all those voices giving their loud advice, I am going to stay. Stay with him until he's well again. Whether he'd actually get better, I had no idea.
And I wanted to be there to help you. And I knew, you know, and they just have this great dialogue. And it's amazing how finally that's all been addressed, their relationship, why she stayed around when he was a dick shouting at her and all this, all that kind of stuff. It was just beautifully done. And it's great that those actors can actually finally, 40 years later, address that. And it really does explain why Perry actually stuck around this whole time. Because he's pretty, you know, even without whatever's happened to him, he's pretty, you know, she goes through a lot in all of her time. We've said all the things she's gone through. The end of Perry.
Or is it?
Are you not convinced?
I'm not convinced.
Really?
Yeah. That's how I feel
Oh,
right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I might feel different towards the end, but right now I'm not convinced. It feels too simple. There was no real build-up for it. She, like, again, she's very quickly, it's only like halfway through the fourth episode where they're like, oh, actually, she'd be a perfect candidate. They do it. She works up. She's suddenly, of course, she's like transformed, like as if, like we've had it before, something else was, and it worked fine. So she is. And then the Time Lords feel they have to step in, and then it's done. And then it's chaos, and she goes.
They had to step in because he finally managed to do it. Like it was only a sort of a theory, and he's like, I've managed to just do this transfer without having to do the operation or anything, and it's worked. And Perry was the first example of that. You know,
Yeah, I
that's why
don't
they
know.
stepped in.
For me, the way that that happened, to lose a companion is a massive thing. And the way it was done doesn't make me feel that this is the end of the story. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, bear in mind all the behind the scenes, and they haven't worked out what's going on a lot as well for this. So, although they've had 18 months. Okay. Well, we'll find out, won't we? We'll find out. Well, we're halfway through the season already. We've
I
only
know,
got
and I think that's the other thing as well. Like when we lost Adred, Adred,
Adric.
Adric, thank you. When we lost Adric, it was really emotional, powerful. It had its moment and time. This didn't. It felt quite rushed and quite, and there's a lot happening. So that's why I'm not convinced that this is the end of Perry. Even Katarina got a moment flying in space.
Yeah, Katerina got well, yeah, I suppose so. This is gruesome though for Perry.
Yeah,
It is.
exactly. And like, I feel like if it was actually going to be the end of her, of that character, when that happened, that would have been the end. And we would have had the what? But instead, you get that run out, you get the doctor, all that happening.
Well, but it shows like the situation that this is when the Time Lords took him out of time and put him on trial because all of this dangerous stuff was happening. It heightens the drama of
It
it.
does. Yeah, it does. But also.
I don't, it's just got a horrible feeling in this story. I can't really describe it. There's a sort of, oh, it feels dangerous and like anything like that could happen. And usually it doesn't, but this
With
time,
this, you
you
feel
know,
like it
it
could. Yeah,
does. I
yeah.
don't know. I just feel, yeah, it's not a nice one for the Doctor. And it's not that nice to see Perry going through all of this. It's that same feeling we had with the Twin Dilemma, the first story, when we were watching Perry go through all of that with the, it's just this, ugh, feeling. But it looks great. All that studio stuff, the lighting, the tunnels. I thought it looked really good, the whole story. There's still mysteries. So the Time Lords are being involved in stuff. Prima facie, we don't know. And that's the end of this segment. 8 episodes in.
Eight episodes in, eight to go.
So you excited to see what happens next? Do you want to know what's going on?
What's the name of the next one?
Oh, okay. The next one is called Terror of the Vervoids.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. I'm trying to think if we've ever met anything called Vervoid before.
No,
We
we
haven't,
haven't.
from your nodding. I think that's another reason why I don't think Perry's dead. If it was the third story, or four, maybe, but not in the second. I just don't believe it, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I genuinely have no idea. There's still a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, there's it's all that court stuff as well, isn't it? That's not
The court stuff's
really.
difficult because I do like it, but it breaks it up too much.
Yeah, it
And it's
does.
all really samey
It
as
is,
well. The
yeah.
start and end are very samey. Like, well, you're going to be, you're done this, you. Yeah.
That's what it's the Doctor will object, or the Valeyard will reject. One of them will say something, the Inquisitor will be like quiet, and then they'll give each other like some sarky look, like told you so, and then they'll go back
And then
into
we go
it.
back to the
That's
thing.
the problem. It's all those close-ups of the Doctor's face, which is just really annoying.
But equally, there have been some moments of like genuine that I've enjoyed. It got better and I did enjoy it. I'd probably give it, I mean, I want to say 6.5 out of 10. So I'm going to go with 7,
Okay, so higher than
which
last
is,
week.
yeah, which is a surprise, mainly because of Syl.
Yeah, it was really great to see him. That
It
was
was
a
a
good
great
one.
Syl
Well,
story. Lot of fun.
it's the same writer that wrote the other Syl one.
Yeah, and it's great. Syl's just mainly because of Syl. Syl's my new master right now.
Ah, okay.
Love a bit of Syl.
Love some Syl.
Awesome
Okay,
Syl.
well, we'll find out what happens in the
You
next.
want to show me your tin now? I can see you again.
Oh yeah, the screen's sagacity. I shall show you. Where'd I put it? Oh yeah, needs to be told this tin, everyone. See that it came in this great
Ooh, that is
tin,
a cool tin. I've seen that tin
and
before. It used to be on your DVD shelf.
yeah, and there it is.
Oh.
There's all the three videos that it came in.
Cute.
Yeah, so I'm sure lots of people at the time who got the VHSs would know the Trial of a Time Lord tin. Still got it as it, and at the bottom you would get a different Doctor. So I've got the third Doctor for no reason at all. I don't know why they didn't put the sixth Doctor in. I always thought it was weird. You got a random Doctor on the bottom of your tin. I bet someone out there's got one for each Doctor.
Of
But I
course.
remember this was in the top shelf, W.H. Smith's at the back. And I was like, one day I'm going to get it. And I did. And it was $34.99,
It's a lot of money then.
which was a lot back then for a
Yeah.
free videos. I did think about turning it into like a biscuit tin or something, but I don't know. I don't want to keep it
No,
nice.
don't, Mark.
Okay.
Enjoy it for what it is. A
Oh,
third
there we
doctor,
go.
sixth doctor biscuit tin.
Of course.
Non-biscuit tin even. DVD. Oh, not DVD. VHS box, isn't it?
VHS, yeah. If you got
VHS.
one, send us a picture of your tin. I'll put a picture of this up. We'll all share our pictures of our tins.
Lovely.
But the weird thing is, it's really annoying because it's in a nice tin, but then it's in this really annoying cardboard thing, which always gets caught when you're trying to take out the videos. So it gets like worn away. The flap gets worn away. So it's in a really thin, like
Don't want a
cardboard
warm flap.
thing. No. So, and it's just in this really thin cardboard
Yeah.
thing. But
VHS.
yeah, there they are. There it is. I don't think there's any spoilers on the cover, so I won't
I
flash
can't
it
see
to
it
you.
well enough to see
Yeah.
that, but yeah.
I won't flash it too much. Okay, well, we will see you all next week for Terror of the Vervoids. So we've got 4 episodes and we've got two. That's it.
Oh,
So
that's
there you
nice.
go. That's cheered you
Ooh, that's cheered me up.
up.
I've just been saying that we've got like eight to go. We don't have six.
Yeah, I've only got six. So, and I absolutely, I probably shouldn't say this, but I guarantee you will like next week's. It's your kind of
Okay.
story next week.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Yep. Okay, we'll see you then. Bye.
Where can you find us, Mark?
Oh yes, you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Two Watch Who, and you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/2watchwho. Thank you so much for everyone that has supported us. We haven't done our cake yet, but we will get round to it at some
We will
point.
get to it. It's been a busy few weeks.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance yet, but we will. So see you soon.
Bye.
To watch who?